Hi and welcome to Everton Fans Forum's podcast. It's been a while, through no fault of our own, to be honest with you, but we're back and we're going to give you updates from our September meeting with the club. Obviously, we do meet with the club once a month. We meet, I'd say, pretty much every day of the week, to be honest with you, amongst ourselves, and deal with a variety of different projects. So it's myself, Dave Witchley, or Witch is probably the easiest way of saying it, and I'm joined by two of our fantastic new members on the forum who obviously elected this term. So welcome, Steve Kelly and Jeff Wolner. Great to have you. I'm sure many of you will know Steve and Jeff, both from the Everton Twitter community. Welcome, lads.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So fantastic. We're going to go obviously through the updates of our last meet with the club. I'm sure many of you have been keeping up to date with the minutes on the website. If you're not aware of that, we do post a link each month onto their signs off. Go into the fans forum area so you can find out these updates. But this is obviously just a way of us getting them out there and talking about them really. So Steve, we'll come to yourself first. Anyone that obviously isn't aware, what we do have is role and agenda items where we ask the club to keep us updated about certain items. So we'll go with yourself, Steve. You can take us through the club updates and also something that's ongoing, which is the Premier League engagement standards as well.
Yeah.
And we'll have a little bit of a conflap over that anyway.
So obviously it was the Premier League shareholder meeting, so it was the new deal for football. So obviously, as I'm sure many of you have seen online and in the newspapers, that there's proposed changes to the FA Cup and the League Cup. Obviously, as us as the forum, we did raise concerns about obviously media briefings suggesting changes to the format of the FA and the League Cup in obviously recent media reports. Obviously, at the moment, they are just reports. The club have confirmed, obviously, that there are no fixed proposals yet. So, obviously, they are going to be in communication from the fans' forums to suggest cup competitions and replays and a key part of the game. As we expressed in the meeting, obviously, fans are worried about proposals appearing to be an attempt to protect those at the top, obviously, of the football pyramid. Obviously, some fans feel disregarded and think the proposal really just questions the integrity of the game. The club were really, really, when we were speaking to the club, they were really, really transparent with us and let us have as many opinions as possible, which was good of them. And the club listened to the feedback and committed to the fan opinion as well.
Fantastic. And yeah, I couldn't, agree with what you just said there as well, Steve. It is concerning, isn't it? We're the fans of the game, I've got friends who are non-league fans as well. Further down the football pyramid, and that it was a disgrace really what happens with that kind of breakaway. And even as we're recording this on the 19th of October, that there's been further reports and that we've been, that you raised it yesterday, that and they keep cropping up, don't they? And it's absolutely imperative that any changes that are made with fan input and not just a few rich people around a table just protecting their own interests.
I think you made a really good point actually, Dave, at the forum meeting in regards to Marine. Obviously with the FA Cup, if it wasn't potentially for that, Marine might not be a football club anymore as well. We've seen obviously sadly a lot of clubs and clubs that have been going for a long time go out of business over the last couple of years. Obviously what happened to Bury was terrible for their club, and I think it's imperative especially for the fans, for them lower league clubs as well, because they are a big communities and the people's lives at the end of the day as well. So it's very important that especially the club are going to be as obviously, like I said, as transparent and as give us as much discussion about it as possible as well.
Definitely, Steve. Your thoughts, Jeff? So you come off mute there.
we've talked about it at length, haven't we, David, about just the how important it is to protect the English football pyramid and how important it is for the fans to have a role in protecting a century and a half of tradition in these communities throughout the country. English football is not just, it's not just four or five clubs. It's hundreds, and you have communities, you have generations of fans that have, you have these clubs that have been such an integral part of the history of all of these communities throughout the country. and generations of fans that have contributed to that. And it has to be protected, and we need to have a voice, and obviously our forum, and the voices of fans throughout the country working hard to protect that. So we're definitely going to continue to have a role in that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. And for anyone that doesn't know, and we do, obviously we're a part of the Football Supporters Association as well, so we do feed in these thoughts and work with clubs right around the country and fan bases to make sure, you know, that these voices and the right thing is done. Obviously the Fan Advisory Board has been set up, so we've got our rep on the Fan Advisory Board, which essentially is our chair, Tony Sampson. So, you know, Tony's aware of all our thoughts, you know, and obviously he's on these meetings chairing them. So he's feeding, you know, that kind of perspective into the Fan Advisory Board at the highest levels of the football club as well. So obviously a bit of background on the Premier League engagement standards. There's a bit of a thing going around there at the moment, Steve, isn't there? And, you know, there's a bit of work going on about how clubs engage with fans, I think, is basically the essence of it, isn't it?
Yeah, because obviously it was following a Premier League announcement earlier this year. Obviously, it was to create a new fan engagement standard. Again, the club have confirmed that consultation is still going on with Premier League and clubs. And again, the club will continue to keep the forum and other key supporting bodies, such as obviously FAB, which we've just recently seen in the last couple of months, having further meetings with the club as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. So it's good. Again, look, this game, as you stay, I think you used the word community. You know, football clubs, you know, are a representative of their communities, and the fans are integral. So, you know, all this work is essential. So, you know,
I think especially one like ours as well, it's been built a lot of it on the community side, and we see a lot of great work that Everton and the community does as well. And I think it is really important that they keep us as updated as possible in regards to this, because again, like I always say, some people might have other interests out of football, but Everton is their life for some people.
Most definitely. Most definitely, Steve. Jeff, just coming to you. Obviously, the North American Toffees, for anyone to know, Jeff's obviously part of the Cincinnati Toffees as well. But you've got a really strong setup, I think it's fair to say, haven't you, in North America? And it's probably a bit of an exemplar for a setup in terms of structure, isn't it, of how fans meet. But obviously, there's been some work that's going on with the supporter club committees in terms of the international structure. Jeff, I don't know if you want to just run us through some of the updates in relation to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's been a lot of exposure in regard to what Everton and the North American Supporters Clubs have achieved, particularly in the U.S. We've seen the preseason tours. We've seen on social media the growth of the supporters clubs throughout the U.S. But through the efforts of a lot of people, including Tony Sampson, we're expanding that effort, because obviously there are Evertonians throughout the world. We're expanding the same model of what we're doing in terms of support and growth for the supporters clubs in the US and North America. And we're expanding that to the UK, to EMEA, the Americas, Asia Pacific. We've got supporters clubs in Australia. We have supporters clubs in Sweden and Norway. And so we've kind of established a model in North America on ways that we can kind of foster the club support and cooperation with us, and some of the things that we've done on our own to kind of grow the Everton brand and expand the supporter base. So it's aimed at formalizing a structured dialogue with a focus of supporting affiliation process, driving memberships, addressing any supporters club issues that they might have. The initial meetings have already taken place, and chairs for each region have been selected, and all that's been communicated on the club website. We'll continue to expand ways to go public with where our supporters base is located in our efforts to expand that. But the forum has welcomed that expansion to international groups. It's been a key priority in recent years. It can only help the club grow their brand and open up some other maybe revenue opportunities. And obviously it's great for the fans, who in some of those more remote areas are getting the attention they deserve and the support that they deserve. And we're making sure that the club continues to foster that. So But the club did confirm that these supporters clubs will not impact any established dialogue already in place or avoid any duplication with the structured dialogue route supporters have into the club. This is just a way of getting better and just kind of trying to expand those efforts.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, and couldn't agree more. You know, it's obviously, for anyone doesn't know, again, we've got, you know, I kind of been in dialogue with a lot of the European groups. A lot of the chairs are on a WhatsApp. We speak daily, right across the globe, Ireland, Norway, all the kind of European countries, Denmark, so we're regularly in them, in that dialogue. So it's good to see that, firstly, good on yourselves, Jeff, the North American Toffees, for being a bit of an exemplar for a setup, and the fact that now that structure is now echoing itself out across the globe can only be a really good thing. I think it's fair to say, obviously, we've got the first international chair of the Fans Forum, Tony Sampson. You know, he's definitely someone who's championed that and really pushed that kind of international initiative. Jeff, with yourself being, I believe you're the first American-born Fans Forum representative. So, it's clear that commitment's there. You know, fans, certainly during COVID, I think it brought us actually at a time when we were probably more isolated than ever before, closer together, and that kind of fosters family, whether you're from L4, or you're from Norway, you're from, Malaysia, as far as Lin Chu and the gang of the Malaysian Toffees, it's definitely getting close to that community, and it's good to see. One message I would like to say, because we have seen this occasionally online, if you're out there, you don't know where your local supporter group is. And when I say local, sometimes depending where you are, you might be, the Middle East, and that can be a slightly, longer distance relationship with a supporter group. Reach out to the Fans Forum. We've had it a few times where we put people in touch with the football club, and they've managed to find a supporter group, or maybe they've created one themselves and the club have helped them. The club and the forum are actively out there, proactively trying to help people and connect people. So get in touch with us, we'll help you. And you can be part of that growth, and don't feel as though if it's not been done already, it can't be done. We will help that. Totally sea changing topics here, Jeff, because it is broad range of things that we do cover on these forum meetings, and it depends what fans raise to us. Everton Giants, obviously a process that I think not every fan will know about, but it's something that's out there. It's a really good process. So you want to just take us some of the updates about Everton Giants? Obviously there was some clarification on the meeting about next steps and a way forward for it.
Yeah, obviously the history of this club is such a big part of who we are, and it's a big reason why we are Evertonians. Generations of fans have experienced and witnessed that history, and I think as we're moving into Bramley Moor, obviously it becomes even more important to make sure that we're recognizing that. The forum sought clarification on the process and criteria for awarding an Everton Giant status, and recommended that a fan representative should be part of the nomination panel. It's very important to have fan representation. Obviously, that's what we're about at the forum. And the club did explain that an internal committee, which includes Evertonians, is already in existence. The committee manages the nomination process and would welcome input of names from both the forum as well as supporters. The forum recommended that Mo Marley should be given consideration, given her significant contribution to Everton and in the women's game. The club confirmed that Mo Marley had already been recommended for consideration by other supporter and representative groups, including the Everton Heritage Society. The club said that to confirm timing for nominations and awards for the 22-23 season, they're going to confirm that timing with the forum. That's something we'll continue to follow up on.
Cheers for that, Jeff. Yeah, and obviously I know that the Heritage Society have been really vocal in pushing Mo Marley for that award, and rightly so. So it's good that we're aligned on that, and we're obviously echoing the Heritage Society's push for Mo Marley. Somewhere, you'll know well, Steve.
Sydney,
somewhere, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, I think Steve got a bit of a knowledge, haven't you, of Australia. But obviously, there's Sydney Cups on the horizon. One of our fans forum members, Barry Williams, who likes to go anywhere, everywhere, and the places in between, will certainly be there in body and spirit. And you know, want to give us a few updates about the Sydney Cup, Steve?
Yeah, very, very jealous of Barry, I have to say. It's all right when you haven't got kids and a wife. obviously, yeah, Sydney Cup, again, I think going back to the supporters groups before, we were saying as well, Australia got a huge fan base down there as well. Obviously, we've been down there a couple of years back now. Tim Cahill, their connection, and when I lived over there myself, there was a lot of Blues over there. So Sydney Cup, yeah, the club have confirmed, obviously, ongoing collaboration with the Australian supporters groups. Obviously, that's just to develop engagement for events up and coming tour. Again, the club have said details will be finalised and published very, very soon. So again, any Blues down under or going on the trip, keep your eye out for that, because like I said, there's a lot going on, I think, around Sydney at the time as well. Obviously, you've got the cricket and a few other boat trips, which I've heard about. So, yeah.
Yeah, should be good. And fair dues, you know, Barry must spend a fortune on all these trips. Oh, yeah. He's off to Newcastle as we speak. Ticketing, obviously, another you know, issue that comes up, and it's a regular issue really that we're continuing to push on, and we have done during my time on the forum over the last couple of years, certainly. So just want to just run us through a few of the updates in relation to the ticketing, because there's been a lot of things raised from fans, hasn't there, Steve, us?
Yeah, so again, obviously, we've received many inquiries about, obviously, the timing of the sales window for the away tickets. The club have always welcomed the feedback, but obviously the 10 a.m. window implemented after benchmarking with other Premier League clubs also ensured the club could manage requests and system more efficiently. Obviously, the club recognised that the system has had its technical issues recently, obviously with the likes of selecting seats and options, but they were hoping that it will be resolved shortly. Obviously, we did have some news in relation to the Bournemouth allegation, but obviously there's been news over the Bournemouth allocation over the last couple of days. But again, the club were working closely with ourselves in relation to the allocation. And as we've seen over the last couple of days, it has been published. Season ticket waiting list is another one as well, which gets mentioned quite a lot. Increase in requests, obviously, from supporters asking for clarification about placements on season ticket waiting lists. Again, the club have explained that the number of factors influence place on waiting lists, including membership status and people choosing to leave the list, means that placement subject to fluctuation, basically. Placements reviewed at the end of every season, and an explanation of the waiting list tiers is available on the club website. So I know, obviously, we all know about the up-and-coming stadium, which isn't too far away now. I think a lot of people are looking at that for the waiting list. So, again, the club, obviously, are always looking at that as well. And there are plenty of people wanting to get into the new stadium, also into the last year at Goodison, hopefully, as well. So,
cheers, Steve. And, you know, I think that the sales window certainly is, you know, I think sometimes people wonder about, you know, what happens on these meetings. And we'll be honest, you know, there are times we fundamentally do disagree with the football club. You know, the sales window is something that we raised when it was changed. Barry, you know, pushed that quite passionately, and, you know, certainly myself, and we disagreed then with the club. You know, we've raised it again this month. We still disagree. Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, you know, there are issues that we will push. We'll be passionate in our kinds of our energy and raising them. But we fundamentally, you know, have pushed for that early window, but the club have said they've got their own reasons and they're sticking to the 10 a.m. So, you know, as raised, it's something that we have pushed, and there will be times, unfortunately, we just don't agree on certain things. And yeah, you know, I just don't feel as though, if you're out there and you're one of them people who, you know, that we're not just accepting, that we are constantly pushing these things and, you know, putting different opinions and perspectives to try and help that process. So
yeah, I've also tried to show them examples as well, haven't we, Dave, as well, at times, from people who have got in touch with the forum as well. So anyone who ever does get in touch with the forum in regards to any ticket, and we do try and show them as much as possible as well what the feedback we're getting off you guys and girls.
Spot on, Steve. Yeah, get in touch with us. You're out there, and you know, we'll continually push these things. Evertonians Against Hate, a fans forum initiative, has certainly taken off with a few of the initiatives that we've been doing. Jeff, quick couple of updates in relation to that, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously it's a very important role for the fans forum, and Evertonians Against Hate is a very important working group for us, and we've been busy and we'll continue to be busy addressing these issues. The project group has met to discuss what we learned from the previous season and what our priorities for the 22-23 season will be. To drive awareness and campaigning against any forms of hate, and make sure that our fan base is protected in regard to that, and that the atmosphere is good at Goodison is positive as possible. And a big part of that as well is as we're expanding those efforts to online abuse as well. It's something we've discussed with the club, and these are things that we'll continue to work hard at, because they're obviously very important for the culture of our football club and very important for our fans.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more, Jeff. Again, you know, raise, you know, kind of continuing that theme here, game two, you know, some fantastic work, hasn't it, Steve, that's been going on with that.
Again, the forum of we've all come together over the last couple of weeks and tried to get as much ideas as well to keep the huge work that Siobhan done as well. Obviously, we've established by the forum we met to review plans for 22-23 and opportunities to continue collaboration with the club and Hair Game 2. Obviously, programme of activities being finalised. Hair Game 2 reviewing Apple 8. So we've just recently, announced a new ambassador of Hair Game 2, which is Sam McPartland. In future forum podcast, might be able to hopefully try and get Sam on as well, which would be good, I think.
Yeah,
I think it'd be great to hear what Sam's got coming up going forward as well. So again, really excited to have Sam on board.
Spot on. Obviously, Laura Baird just gave us quite an extensive list of updates of plans, and it sounds exciting. You know, they're a very active or proactive group that are working incredibly hard. So it's,
I have to say, the amount of work Laura goes into in regards to Hair Game 2 is very, very, very impressive. She turns up with a laptop, doesn't she, David, at meetings, and she's got a spreadsheet, and she's really, really invested in the campaign, to be honest with you.
Definitely couldn't echo them words more, Steve. Spot on. Just a couple of updates as well. Obviously, the stadium atmosphere. Obviously, the 1878 group, if you don't follow them on Twitter, go and root them out and give them a follow. But the fans forum, obviously, are actively involved in that group. I'm certainly on it, and Barry Williams is on that group from the forum as well, and Tony Sampson. So there's forum representation within that group. It's a group of different fans, different perspectives, different ages. Some are supporter groups, some just individual fans. Some who used to be in the originals, you know, obviously when that you know, all the great work they done, you know, they're continuing to feed into that now and in this 1878 group. So there's a lot of work, a lot of passionate fans within that group wanting to do the best they can to try and grow the atmosphere. So that group have been meeting with the football club. They've been obviously engaging the fan base. You would have seen polls, questions, all kinds of things online to try and engage fans to find out what they want, you know, what they'd like to see. Sometimes, you know, that's just, you know, not them telling fans. It's actually the opposite. It's encouraging other fans to get involved, kickstart initiatives, bringing flags to the games, you know, that passion that we've seen and the organic nature of the fan base that's grown itself, you know. And I think the coach meet was excellent the other day for anyone that went the game the other day as well. So, you know, it's just been a really good year there. So that will carry on. So if you've got any ideas, send them into the 1878s. You know, don't be afraid or sitting there. You know, there's a Twitter group and they'll add you to it if you should wish to get involved in that as well. So that work is carrying on. If you've got any ideas in relation to stadium atmosphere, get them through to them or pass them to the forum and we'll raise them on the 1878 group. Fantastic. Also, obviously, the derby. Certainly a lot of issues were raised to us on the back of the derby. for anyone that doesn't know as well, the different fan groups do meet up with the council, the police, and everything in between in terms of discussing pre-game and post-game in some of these bigger games. Obviously, the derby is one of them. And the police basically commented that, you know, the 1878 kind of management and messaging around the game was exemplary, you know, and you know, being fantastic in terms of how they've got about organising, you know, things and making sure that fans can do it and, you know, it's done safely. Obviously, collaboration and calls for unity between Fans Forum and SOS. We've seen at the derby in light of the recent knife crime and gun crime. It was welcomed by the police, club supporter groups. Obviously, tragic event in Liverpool. We continue to see these horrible things happen within our communities. So it's good, actually, that sometimes that the fan bases can stand together, shoulder to shoulder. And I think we always have against the bigger issues. You know, we'll continue to do that because some things are more important than football, you know, and we shouldn't be in a position where these things are happening within our communities. So us standing together and showing that it's unacceptable, never underestimate the power of fans and the terraces, you know, because they are representative of our communities and young people do look up and look, you know, at football games and kind of, you know, are affected by that as well. So
I think we've seen it, didn't we, Dave, as well? That was on BT Sport, that game. And obviously with the minute applause from both sets of fans as well for Olivia. And I think that type of thing goes worldwide and it can show what fan bases, like you just said there, can bring to football, where I think you didn't really see that probably in the 80s and in the 70s. It wasn't really obviously out there as much, but these days it's important that clubs come together through terrible circumstances like this as well.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, the issues that are facing the city affect everyone in the city, and at the end of the day, it's about, you know, taking care of your neighbors in Liverpool. And the collaboration with fans supporting food banks is one that's always stood out to me. Both fan bases kind of collaborate on that, and then also with the issues with knife violence and so forth. So it's all a good thing.
Definitely, and a huge well done to Dave Kelly, obviously being elected as chair of the Shareholders Association as well. You know, just on a slightly different note, just as you prompted me there, Jeff. Congratulations from the forum to Dave Kelly as well on that appointment. So, we continue to work on these things. It's incredibly important. Clubs and sports groups will continue to cooperate to try and provide that safe environment for future fixtures. We want to go to my brothers are Reds, my best mates are Reds. You know, often we'll go for a drink before the game and, you know, they've called it the family derby. I know that there's been certain things slipped in the last couple of years in terms of some of the atmosphere, but look, it's a community. It's you know, often families, you know, divided whether you support one team or other. It doesn't change the fact you are family and you are friends at the end of the day. So we'll continue to work to try and create that safe environment to move away from what we've seen slip into the last couple of years. You know, and we all play our part in that as well. You know, if you're thinking about bringing a banner that you think that might cause offence, why do it? Why cause them issues? You know, let's cut out the graffiti. Let's cut out the nonsense. You know, let's get back to just supporting football and, you know, enjoying the football game. And hopefully we'll get 3 points next time as well, on another note. Moving on from that side of things, one last thing, a bit of a thing bubbling in the back. And Steve done a lot of work on this now. And it's something that I know a lot of fans feel very passionate about, which is the branding of our city.
Yeah, it was the first thing I mentioned to you, Dave, when I first come on the forum and mentioned it to Tony as well. In my when I sat down with Tony and spoke about my vision for stuff like this, I think it over the last couple of years we've had to see sadly the Reds doing well and seeing all their obviously murals across the city. Which at the end of the day, if you're successful, you can, I suppose, over the last couple of years, you can do it. But I think as we've seen the fan base coming together over the last six to eight months, that I feel like it's time for us now to build that fan base even more. And I think for murals in the city and across the city anywhere as well, I think they are very important. And obviously, I'm currently in the process of, so I sent an email this morning to the club with pricing and obviously the ideas that we've got as well. So just waiting for the email back off the club. But the club have reiterated too is that they're willing to collaborate with supporters and official partners as well. So I think it's one of them where we will speak to the fans in regards to it as well, because it is important. Again, it's going to be something which is about the fans and about the club and people's club. So that's what we want to try and do across the city as well.
Definitely. See, let's paint every wall blue.
Exactly, mate. Too many red walls around the city.
The 1878 are that for a reason.
And I think, like I mentioned in the meeting a couple of weeks ago, we've got a new stadium come up. We need to make that area as an Everton area. We've obviously got where we are at the moment at Goodison, and obviously that'll always be a part of the club's history. But as I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, for the club now moving forward, it's going to be our new, well, potentially in another 12 months, going to be our new home. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's important we build a base down there and we make it and try and help us make many local businesses down there as well with stuff like that, because murals can generate people going, tourists down there who might want to go and see it, then they go to a bar down there or a cafe down there. So again, it's helping all local businesses as well.
Spot on, Steve. You raise an excellent point there. So for anyone listening, if you're a business owner, if you've got a wall anywhere that you wish to be painted blue, get in touch with the forum and we'll make sure that it's flagged up. And if you're an artist maybe out there, you know, and you want to, you know, get your work out there, then just contact us. Anything, you know, that can help, we're all ears for.
And I think what you're saying there, Dave, sorry to jump in again about the murals before the derby. I think we don't want to ruin that. That's their thing. We want to do our thing. We need to make sure that these things cost a lot of money for people. Not just, I know people might think, oh, the football club, you've got loads of money, but it's still money off the club. They're potentially going to be putting money into making the club more relevant across the city as well. So,
spot on, Steve. So, fantastic way to end. I know it's certainly something on the tips of everyone's tongues. Look, this is the first podcast back. We're going to be doing these each month again. I'm going to try and get out there on a few of the content providers that you all know and love. So keep your eyes and peeled and your ears open, because you'll be hearing a lot more of the Fans Forum as we get out there, speak to people, engage and update. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back no doubt to give you the highlights of the meeting, probably now in November from the end of October's meeting. Bye for now from us all. And thanks for listening.